It is actually a composition of different parts, which was originally scheduled for today. I will complement the beautiful discussion that that was already given on the HFI polarization, with some highlights on the ongoing analysis at low frequencies. And then I'll move to the description of the data analysis algorithms we are designing for using ongoing and forthcoming data sets. Then Chao also asked me to say a few words about this proposal that was submitted to ESA in this month, this PRISM thing that will be hopefully discussed also tomorrow. Okay, everything, so we are supposed to show this whenever we talk about Planck, which is a collaborative effort, et cetera, et cetera. And so as you know, the polarization results were not available for the first release. So the reason is that lots is not only the presence of systematics in the data, but also the major effort to get good results on data on total intensity out. So for LFI, we have several, for the polarized analysis in LFI, we have several sources of systematics. Some of them are similar to the ones which I already discussed. So the beams are a pain in all their extension, including far side lobes, which are which are now extremely important in these days. Calibration errors, and then your incomplete, your incorrect knowledge of the band passes, which cause leakages which are more intense and more visible and more modelizable when you look at the areas in which the sky is intense. Everything that I say is basically section 10 of the Planck LFI data processing paper, in which there is a beautiful plot which illustrates the situation at in March, basically, what we could put in the paper, and it is instructive to see the level of the enemy that we are facing. So you see three plots here. These are the spectra of various differences. So the solid line are for total intensity, and the dashed for EE polarization. And they are from differences, two kind of differences, null tests. So one is the SS, which means a sky survey differences. So you take 1 year of data, the other year of data, take the differences. Everything should go away except unwanted things. And then a JK, which is unfortunate, let's say, definition. So it means jackknife. But, it is nothing else than dividing the pointing period in two parts. So making two Plancks, basically, two Plancks, one with a half of the pointing of each pointing period, the other one with the second half of each one, and taking the differences. So you should see that's the best realization of the noise in flight that you can get. Two ways of seeing that, from sky survey differences and from half-ring differences. And you see them plotted into here. So this is CLs for total intensity and EE, 30, 44, and 70. So the flat part of the curve is sort of the level is nominally expected, and it is good. It is almost flat. We see something that we still do not understand at very high multiples in the paper. So the bad thing is the low L part, in which you see this rise of the curves. That is the the enemy which we are fighting, which is probably certainly a combination of the three problems that systematics that were highlighted in the previous slide, and which caused this rise of the signal, which is unwanted. Okay, there should be everything.
What did you say in the previous previous slide, you said U differences M and S. What is M and S?
So the way, main and side. So within each horn, you have two radiometers. So you take differentiation of the two arms. So, and really, so things, as you may imagine, are, in progress for improving on this plot, especially regarding the modelization of the intermediate and far side lobes. To get a glimpse of physics into here, to see, let's say, where we are with respect of the expectations, it's nice to look at the galaxy for now. Here you see in this plot the model in CLs of the EE spectra and the expected contribution of the galaxy from the WMAP model, Gold et al. 2011, which is reflected into the Planck sky model. At 30, 44, and 70 outside the WMAP P06. So to calibrate where we are in quality, where we were in quality in March, you can put those curves on these plots to see if we actually see the galaxy. So we do see the galaxy, even with this quality of the data. Let's say we saw lots of improvement in needed, but on the very low multiples, we are sensitive to the galaxy out of the galaxy, not only on the plane but outside P06. Okay, so this is the first guess of things. So what's happening now? So lots of things which still. Which are basically ongoing, so we cannot say anything about that. So right now, so the far side lobes were included in the simulations. They were proven to have an effect, both in the calibration procedure as an unwanted radiation coming into the radiometers. So please.
Just the width of band path, we could. Are they very, very stable?
What do you mean by stable?
Just they are, for any given detector, its band shape is constant in time and like bias conditions or whatnot.
To the first order, that's our assumption that they stay constant. No, so change in the detector responses across time are also a degrees of freedom. Right now, we are concentrating on the basis of the ground measurements that we have on pass path leakages, calibrating, so checking, trying to get the correction factors, which are called A factors, correction for the color corrections into the band passes to a level of accuracy which must be better than 0.05% in order to beat down those leakages. And then, time changes into the detector responses is another degree of freedom that at the moment we are concentrating on actually measuring this effect. Okay, and this is all going. You'll see.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up later, but can you say.
No, it's all with Planck, I'm over. Yes, I'm done.
In this context?
It's minus 40. That's a typical quantity you're shooting at. Mm-hmm.
Your model fidelity will be under minus 40.
Exactly, yeah. We have those models. Yeah, exactly. So the unwanted radiation coming from the galaxy takes you to look in the beam properties at those levels. We have models from a software made by the constructor, which is called GRASP. Okay, and we use that model in combination of simulated skies in order to calibrate this effect. And things say that to the level of minus 40, far side lobes are still relevant for the polarization analysis.
For us, what the grasp prediction is, what is the level of the far side lobe in the grasp prediction?
I need to look into the papers. But there is no, we didn't publish those far side lobes in the data processing paper verified 2013. So I cannot, I don't think we can show that.
There are some information in the
paper on this. Pre-launches. Mm.
Are the far side lobes larger for LFI than HFI? And then if so, is it because you're further out in the focal plane?
Yeah, they are further out, sure. Yes. Okay, so that's so this is over for the Planck overview of the status of polarization analysis. For the rest of the quick talk, I will show anticipating things which we will discuss next for suborbital experiments. Yes.
George had been summarizing maybe a little bit easier. So, what do you expect for polarization? You know, it with no extra improvements, what do you expect for polarization limits? You know, George has set a goal for HFI to get low end E-modes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to parse from your talk where you guys are. Maybe I should have been sort of incorporating these noise plots that you showed. Will you be able to get sort of low end to the same goal as George set for HFI?
That's our goal, yes, for sure. Yes, also because
this is noise, obviously, right?
Yeah, this is noise. This is only noise.
Where, okay, I have to correlate the lower plot with the upper. I see.
So the systematics is at the level of the reunification bump, more or less. So the for the LFI noise is higher, so we lose signal earlier than HFI. Okay, but for the very low multiples, the we're comparable. And that's needed because we are not only in a regime which is noise dominated, we're mostly foreground dominated. So foreground cleaning polarization is ongoing. It started, let's say, with some energy, let's say, after the 2013 release. And to get large scales, WMAP say teaches that we are having foreground dominated on very large scales. So we need low frequencies to control the synchrotron.
So if I were to take one single sentence, I'm not sure that's right, but in the end, HFI is struggling with its non-linearities and trying to get the foreground down so you can get the EE clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's roughly LFI's goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Same thing.
And you think you'll get roughly to the same level?
To the very low multiples, yes, we're comparable, you see from this plot. Yeah.
Just like with the HFI, and the problem is getting
the trade-off between averaging over a long time period, so it's not sort of gain factor issue, and result from error issues, and that's a real problem.
Exactly, so that's one effect, yes. and then orientation, relative orientation error.
Take it off.
Sure.
You don't with a bicep where you have the everything is absolutely symmetric, then maybe, but I mean not that you
well,
okay, it doesn't even work. But I mean you wouldn't I can't think once you break the symmetry by having the optical axis, then you know you would you can't preserve it forever.
Are they looking in the same directions, the two polarizations for a given frequency
at the same time?
So the horns, within the horn, the two arms at the main inside, yes, they're looking in the same direction.
And Clem, maybe your central horn doesn't show it, if you have central
horn. So how often are the beams?
Excuse me?
The
two half of the of
how offset are they from the sky?
The relative orientation error. See? No?
So the central is the how much displaced
are they on the sky? So you see so the focal plane, no? So focal plane shape is a figure by Olivier. So, okay, so that's over with the Planck part. So I just wanted to quickly mention I think we're late, Chao.
Yes,
we're late. Anyway, work for studying so pursuing these data analysis techniques also into the realm of suborbitals. So in the past years we have been doing. Some work on especially concentrating on the foreground cleaning of for forecasts for operating experiments, in which you take so the whole game is taking starting from maps in good shape, let's say. No, those nasty things that we've seen are not included into these models and existing foreground modelings that you have. Simulating sky areas which are targeted by experiments and see if in nominal condition you are able to control foregrounds at a level in which it is required to get out the targets that these experiments are doing. So and there are different things because so B modes are dominated by tensor signal which compete to large scale structure signal on smaller angular scales. So we investigate separately the capability of recovery on the degree scale B modes versus the one on the lensing. You see the a plot here in which you see errors starting to appear when you include simulation into the simulation of the foreground cleaning, in which you're able, so you apply parametric machineries in which you parameterize foregrounds, estimate and subtract. You're left with levels of foregrounds which are these sites. And you have the lensing and the tensor signal, and you have error bars coming after the process of polarization. So in this, you can estimate how well you are getting the degree scale power here and the arcminute scale power here. They are two different things coming from two different effects. And for R, let's say results are essentially entirely on the frequency setup. Frequency range and your assumption on the foregrounds. So if you happen to underestimate the effect of one of the components, especially the synchrotron, in one of the areas, you may bias your results. So you better have make sure that the foreground model is correct, and even in the cleanest area, which is most difficult to achieve. Correct foreground modelization in the cleanest area is required. This is the question that Shaul was posing earlier to the Planck, let's say, to the Planck community, and that is a goal, of course, characterizing to the best level of sensitivity that we have foreground polarization in the cleanest areas is one of the main important things that we can, most important things that we can do for the prosecution of the study on the polarization sky. So a very nice work was done by students at CISA on the lensing extractions. You see the CL kappa kappa lensing shear extraction degree from polarized foreground cleaning maps. First, you see that if you don't subtract the foregrounds for polarized level from 5% to 10%, you're biased, and so your lensing goes nuts. You know, lensing reconstruction. So you have to control the foregrounds as well, and your estimator go back in shape when the foregrounds are properly taken into account and subtracted to the level of sophistication that we have at the moment. Okay, so this is so one, yes. Planck's eye model, so dust here. Okay, so the dust is total, the dust polarization is total intensity dominated in the models, IRAS dominated up to very high Ls, thousands.
Story would be that the diffuse galactic dust would not be such a solid element that would be over here where you're trying to fit it for the galactic reflection.
It is. So lensing, it is a problem. So, yeah. Even at the high L, it may be a problem, sure. So, it's
a small patch of the sky.
This is the IBEX, this is the target. So the lensing correlates scales. So there is a pollution of the large scales into the small scales. So if you in CLs, it looks very subdominant when you extrapolate very high Ls. But when you're looking, you're getting the lensing out of your maps, you better be careful not to have large scales mode for the dust coming into your estimator. Or you parameterize foregrounds and you clean. Sure. In this exercise, we parameterize foregrounds and feed them out.
This is not
CLBB
of lensing.
This is kappa kappa. This is lensing. This is shear.
So he's not saying that foregrounds are important for CLBB lensing. They are still below. He's saying that if you want to do CL kappa kappa from your CLBB,
you better be careful because they're not exactly the same thing. So one is lensing estimation in the CL space BB, so there's a pretty clean estimator. So one other is getting the getting out the the kappa. Anyway, so these are nice exercises that we hope will become relevant soon. So in over Europe, also in collaboration with some of the US scientists, and in the perspective of combining everything to get the cleanest B-modes out, so we're trying to, in the context of the preparatory work to the future satellites of ESA, we are trying to push the lensing simulations to the next generation by simulating CMB lensing through real structures, which are represented by n-body simulations. Now, in this way, you have a complete access to the lensing statistics. It's not semi-analytic expectations. This is lensed by real structures. And then by cross-correlation with known structures, because you are lensing through n-body, you may exercise your delensing delensing procedures, in which you estimate the lensing from some t-lens, and you try to subtract it from the most to gain more constraining power on the level of gravitational waves. This is another line which is which is ongoing. And you actually, it does work because so in here you see the comparisons between. So there is a bunch of papers. There is a comparison between between the expectations from semi-analytical based techniques like lens peaks versus true n-body simulations. The CMB sky is lensed by n-bodies with limitations due to size, etc. And it is able to reconstruct a pretty nice match with the semi-analytical expectations at the level of the two-point correlation function. You see interesting deviations at low L, which are under study at the moment, either interpolation issues, gridding issues, or incorrect modeling of the non-linearities from structures at the angular and very small angular scales.
When you say that people be using cross correlation, the observed structures, you mean observed structures at other surveys?
Yes, eventually. Suppose that we have Euclid now. It maps all the lenses from here to redshift 2. You get the lenses. You get a very. You can predict the lensing pattern, and try to get them out from your B modes maps in order to gain confidence on the value. So that you're seeing to go after gravitational waves. Okay, I'm done.
So what?
Yes. Oh, I'm over now. Okay, but Prism tomorrow. No, come on. So I 1 minute. It's just 1 minute. So.
But we'll come back tomorrow.
It will come back. Yeah, we can. So to anticipate tomorrow's discussion. So as you know, ESA is sort of blessing us with with satellites, cosmologic satellites. So there are proposals going out every once in a while with for medium or large scale satellites. So they come out suddenly. You have to respond suddenly. So there was one paper which was written basically one white paper which was written in 1 month. It is listed in this website here. In 1 month, in which you see the case for a large-scale satellite doing CMB to the finest possible imaging polarimetric imaging power and spectroscopic infrared astrophysics as well. So that was submitted, and in the paper you can see the specs which were proposed by these for these objects. And so in order to make a strong enough case in absence of the signal, so we do not have the signal yet from gravitational waves. If we have the signal from gravitational waves, even a glimpse of that, these things go up in the list of ESA funders, no? So we don't have it, but in order to make the case strong, and it is certainly strong, you go there and you propose this incredible frequency range in order to to do not only CMB polarization on all possible angular scales, but also definitive large scale peculiar velocity flow to cluster kinetic and thermal effects. So you can imagine the tens of thousands of strongly lensed galaxies, which is one of the most important results by Herschel in the recent years, and of course B modes to the highest level, B modes for gravitational waves and lensing to the highest level possible. Okay. I'm done.
As a higher frequency, which is the usual argument, is to involve more astrophysical community, and I understand that. But in terms of foreground subtraction and with your expected foreground subtraction, do you have any comment on how low
you go? We'll go. Yeah, in the proposal they say few 10 to the minus 4 in R, based on naive studies of foreground subtraction, estimates of foreground subtraction. Everything has to be learned in these years on that part, by the analysis of Planck and the forecoming suborbitals. Oh, it's it's left open. It's 3.5. Yeah. Yeah, absolute spectrum. Yeah.
There's a photometer which is the mirror.
Thank you, Shaul.
Is
1.4 degrees. The thermometer is 3 RPM or so. It's actually even only 6 degrees. Okay. Okay, grazie.